In a world that is changing literally overnight, are you adapting or are you falling behind? Are your projects future-proof or are they already obsolete? In today's episode, we're going to unpack how to dominate project management in this year, 2025. Let's get into it, family. Point number one, champion data privacy and compliance. With the evolving privacy regulations required, if we miss this particular oversight as project management project managers, it can really have a huge impact to our project. This is why it's important that we ensure that we involve or integrate teams from the compliance team, because if we don't, there may be financial penalties. There may be a reputational damage, not just only to the organization, but to you as a project manager, as well as it will affect the project visibility or viability. Either one is both, in my opinion. And so we want to make sure we're understanding the compliance aspect. Working in a compliance for over 5 years, it gave me a brand new set of glasses, as they will say, to understand how important compliance is. And we can't take this lightly anymore because everything is moving more digital versus paper. And so we want to ensure we're taking the proper channels to secure that data. Here's my two actionable tips. Embed compliance milestones within the actual project schedule, i.e. data audit checkpoints, compliance checkpoints. And number two, partner with legal teams to regular update a compliance tracker for new or changing regulation. There's always different regulations that can come out, and you want to ensure that you're aligned or you're future aligned, future proof for anything that may be coming down the future that you're aware of, because it says, hey, this policy is going to be coming out in a year or 2 years, that you start kind of building that in. So all it is a switch to turn it on. All right, next point, strategic orchestration for rapid change. Organizations face faster shifts in technology, markets, and most of all, customer expectations. Customers' expectations has grown higher. I know mine has as a customer, because I expect whatever I'm spending that you're going to give me the same value back or even more. If you deliver even more, that makes me want to come back. I remember one of the owner of the Starbucks company said, what is the most valuable piece of business here? And they were saying, oh, well, it's the product. Oh, it's the service. And he was like, no, a repeat customer. And translation is that the more you have a repeat customer, the more that means they're enjoying doing business with you, coming and spending money with you. So we have to ensure that we are taking the customer's expectations and trying to do our best to wow them. So this is why it was important, because project managers orchestrate teams and resources that allow us to be able to pivot fastly when technology shift, when markets shift, when customers' expectations shift. Maybe they like the blueberry ice cream, but now we're in the summer and now it's strawberry ice cream, and we have to be able to pivot. This is important because rapid adaptation is critical to staying. My favorite word is competitive today. So if we want to remain competitive, not just as an organization, but even as a project manager, we must ensure that we are staying pace of what the changes are in the markets, as well as technology and as well as our customer. Here's my two actionable tips that I would love for you to experiment with. First one, schedule regular quarterly reviews with executives, VPs, and directors so you can ensure that the project scope is aligned. Number two, develop a quick response protocol just for if we have to reassign resources when we have a market shift or a technology shift that demands certain types of pivots. And this is going to be key, because when you have an organization that can make these shifts with resources, because normally most of the time, I know we always talk about the triple constraints, time, cost, scope, and quality. However, if you would love me, if you won't mind me to remix that, I would add a fifth one on there, which is basically resource. When you have a resource constraint, the challenges of moving this project further, sometimes you have, people get burnt out, or they're in too many places. And so that means they can't focus on what your particular project is, because they're over here on another project. So having the ability to be able to pivot with resources, it's going to be a key. I really believe for 2025, this is going to be huge in order to have the success as a project manager, as well as an organization. Next point, bridging technology and people. Everybody is screaming about this. Oh, this AI. Artificial intelligence, yes, is here. And I believe it's not going anywhere. It's been here for a while, but we didn't really pay attention to it as much. Let me show you. Have you ever been typing anything and then all of a sudden it started finishing your sentence? That's AI. And a lot of times we don't look at that particular piece, but advancement in AI as well as automation will continue to expand. However, your key, your, as they say, stake in the ground, your ability to lead people, leadership, meaning human coordination is needed so you can fully realize the technological benefits, meaning only way we can understand this is that we have to have the humans in place in order to lead certain parts of this technology. Now, I know there's going to be people push back. Well, if I can get an AI bot to do such and such, and you can, but I have to make sure I put the proper prompt in so that the bot can do what it needs to do. And that's the biggest thing here, is that we have to understand, family, that yes, automation is coming and is moving faster and faster, as well as AI. However, being able to have that human connection and most of all, leadership is going to be key. Because this is important, because properly managed interplay between people and tech optimizes the productivity and reduces miscommunication. Miscommunication on projects is one of the, I'll probably put it in my top five of why projects don't have the success that they should have. And it's because communication is not aligned properly. Here's my two actionable items I would love for you to experiment with. First one, host a tech translation session between IT teams and end users to clarify tech capability. Number two, introduce a buddy system. I don't know what it seemed like we've gotten away from this, but you remember the buddy system is so valuable. Just imagine you taking someone that is experienced, and then someone that's not experienced in tech, putting these two together, they can really complement each other. First, the person that is so technical savvy, they can show this other person not to have the concern or fear or whatever adjective you want to describe here of dealing with certain tech pieces. And then for the person that is not that savvy, they can help the tech person understand how to articulate the information without it going over someone's head. And I remember there's been many meetings that I would go into and it's full of tech people. And I'm like, okay, how is this going to go? And they get to talking in their terminology. And I was lost. This was in the beginning of my career. I was lost. And I finally said one day, I said, hey, could you just break it down to me where if you was explaining it to your kid that's under 10 years old, or could you explain it to me in a way that if you had to go talk to executives about it? And the only reason why I did that is because I have to understand what they're doing, because I have to go and talk to executives, or I have to go talk to a director or explain to the rest of the team. So I appreciated their passion. Project managers, we're just as guilty. We have what we call, and I got this from a book, If Your Product Is So Good, Why Is It Not Selling? It's called Technobabble. We use Technobabble too, but we don't sometimes realize it because we're so used to using certain acronyms or certain ideology when it comes to leading projects, and we have to boil it down. All people really care about is my project on time? Is it on budget? Is it within scope? And what about the quality? That's really the gist of project management, but we will make it complicated. We'll say, well, yeah, we're looking at the schedule, and you know, if you fast track and you just start talking, and if you look at the project management plan that has 20 components, and in there we have the it just goes over people's head. So we're just as guilty as tech people are when it comes to what I call tech babble. So we have to make sure that when we're talking to people that is not in that realm of project management to be able to really articulate what we're trying to do and where we're at in the particular project. All right, that was just a little rant for you. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. Enhancing organizational agility in this day and time as of 2025. Again, I don't like dating my recordings, but I feel like today is important because Agile is something I fell in love with probably a year ago. And when I say I fell in love with like how I'm in love with project management, the benefits and how it can impact your personal life as well, as far as the structure, meaning organization, the ability to follow up with people. This is a reflection of real world, dealing with problems. How do you respond to problems when you're short on resources or short on budget? So reason why I started looking at falling in love with Agile, because of the ability to be able to be adaptable. Having an Agile mindset means one of the values, one of my favorite values, which is the first one, individuals and interactions over process and tools. Because we used to get so caught up in all these processes and tools and artifacts and documents, etc., that we didn't keep the main thing, which is the individual and the interaction with these individuals to build proper, you know, artifacts and tools. So I say all that to say that PMs must foster an adaptable project environment. This is important because agility drives innovation, reduces time to market, and helps teams stay resilient. Here's my two actionable tips I would love for you to go experiment with. Run retrospective sessions after each sprint to gather lessons learned and drive continuous improvement. Let me park here real quick, family. If you're not familiar with retrospectives, basically they're just like our lessons learned registered. The difference is, and this is why I love the Agile mindset, is done after each particular sprint. Versus with when you're leading a predictive project, it's done at the end. Now you may be, you know, tracking the lessons learned as you're finding out things throughout the project, but we don't take time to say, hey, let's do a lessons learned to understand what do we actually learn from that. Normally we will learn something, we'll fix it, and then go about our way and document, and we'll talk about the end of the project. But what it could hold some value. What if that value that we learned could help us get out of another particular situation? But I digress. Actionable number two, implement short sprint cycles to deliver incremental value and adapt swiftly. Facilitating cross-generational collaboration. Family, in the workforce now, you have different generations in the workforce, and your ability to have a communication style that can speak to every generation. And I know what some people say, well, why I got to do that? Why can't I just talk just like, you know, how I would talk to anybody? Well, again, you have to know your audience. Some of your audience may not want to get an email versus you picking up the phone and calling them. I still say send the email, but I also say if their communication preference is phone and they will respond to that, then why wouldn't we do that? Or if it's an instant message, I know one of the things I would always do if I would send an email and I understood one of the ways that this person liked to correspond was through Teams, I would send them a Teams message. Hey, I sent you an email on this particular topic. I need your response from it. Oh, no problem. He'll jump right on it. And that was important to me because of the fact of not only was I setting him up for success, I was setting myself up for success. Because a lot of times what we'll end up doing, we'll send an email and then we're like, oh, well, I've done my job. I sent the email. And then if they don't answer, then I'll just send a follow-up email. It's like, why not pick up the phone and call this person? Why not message this person to find out what is actually going on? All right. Here's my two actionable tips. Create a mentorship that pairs across different age groups to encourage mutual learning. That is key, family, because I believe that just like when I talked about the tech situation, doing a buddy there, it's important even now because there's something that the youngest person can learn the wisdom from someone that has been through, as they say, the fire, that has the scars to prove that, yes, I understand how this thing goes. And then the other person, the older person can understand, hey, you know, oh, this is a different way to do it. I was doing it by paper. Maybe I can switch it up and do this more digitally. So I believe there's so much value that you can learn from each other. I always look forward to those moments. I never think because of my age or my background or anything, I'm coming to learn at the end of the day. And the last and final one, offer flexible communication options like I talked about, whether it's video calls, in-person, chat apps, emails, etc. You want to be able to match the generational preference. All right, let's move on to the next one. Minimizing silos with integrated planning. Again, minimizing silos with integrated planning. One of the things what an exceptional project manager does extremely well is what I call break down and build up. Break down and build up. What are you talking about? Well, I want to break down all the silos because the silos are not doing anything to help the project, nor is it helping the organization. I understand that you have your little set of work to go work on, but when we collaborate together when it comes to problem solving, we will be more effective as a team than we would if everyone was siloed off. So in complex organization, they often suffer from these departmental silos. PM's ability to unite departments under a cohesive roadmap, this was allows the project to excel because now we're coming together. This is why you see once everyone starts really gelling and working together, when the project ends, it's like, man, this, I hate that this project, because we started building a bond. And that's what you got to look for. And this is important, again, because breaking down silos streamlines decision-making and eliminates duplicate work, as well as my favorite thing, it enhances communication. Here's my actionable tips for you that I would love for you to experiment with. Implement a single project management tool for accessibility to all departments for real-time visibility. The next one, conduct monthly cross-functional roundtables discussions to align on goals and share progress. Right, let's move on to our next one. Cultivating transparent communication. You knew a communication slide was going to be in here somewhere. We were going to talk about it somewhere because, listen, when you look at communication, this is one of the drivers that lead to successful projects in 2025, 2024, you name the year in general. But reason why communication is important, it helps prevent misunderstanding. It helps ensure we're all aligned. We're saying the same thing. I remember an organization I worked at that they would check to see if we were saying the same thing. And I loved it. Some people were nervous. And I was like, no, that why are we having these weekly meetings or these touch points, you know, twice a week, if everyone is not saying the same thing? That means somebody is not paying attention, or they just basically said, I'm not going to say it, but it's more or less that they're probably not paying attention. But we should all be aligned. We should all know where the project is at. Are we on time? Are we behind time? Are we ahead? These are simple questions that we should be able to answer if anybody stopped us. So having that ability to communicate effectively, and most of all, being transparent about updates, it really brings people closer together. It strengthens trust. It reduces the rework, and again, the speed to decision-making. Here's my two actionable tips. Set communication guidelines at the project kickoff, what to communicate, how often, and what channel basically you're going to communicate. Is this all going to come through email? Am I going to build a SharePoint site where you'll be able to see in real time to see where the project is at, what the latest communication is, etc. And actionable tip number two, use a project newsletter or bulletin to share weekly highlights, risks, milestones with all stakeholders. I actually done that before. I created an actual newsletter, and just really to keep everyone up to date on where we were at. And it was just something done on a Word doc with some graphics, and I would send it out to the team. And some days I would even print it and hand it to the stakeholders, just because I wanted us all to be aligned of where the project was at. So there's no guessing, like, are they behind schedule, or I heard it. No, this is the source of truth right here. This is where we're particularly at. All right, next one. Improving stakeholder satisfaction through continuous feedback loops. A lot of people don't like to integrate with their stakeholders a lot. For me, it just baffles me. See, regular check-ins and iterative reviews keep stakeholders engaged, reducing late stage revision. Why is this important? Satisfied stakeholders are more likely to provide the necessary resources and champion the project success. This is why it confuses me. I'm like, this is what we're getting our resources for. We need to make them happy. I'm not talking about just trying to please them. I'm saying doing our job so effectively that there's like, okay, yeah, we want to help this project manager win. We want to help this project team win. So here's my actionable tip. Schedule formal reviews at the end of each project phase or sprint so you can solicit immediate feedback. And actionable tip number two, use a simple feedback tool, whether it's short surveys or rating form. You can use SurveyMonkey. You can use a Google form. There's so many ways we can make this inexpensive so we can understand what is going on. And then we want to quickly capture the stakeholders' input and figure out how we can make this situation better, whether they feel, hey, we're not getting updates on a timely basis. Well, what is a timely basis? Oh, we would love it every Wednesday and Friday to know, hey, no problem. How would you like that, email, or would you like that through our SharePoint that we build or the website? What you let us know? Because again, like I said, when we are able to satisfy our stakeholders, we're more likely to get the resources and the support of the project that we actually need. Elevating the customer experience. See, customers expect seamless, personalized experiences and product service or products or service interaction. So project managers must ensure that the customer experience is the core project focus. I know we've gotten away from that. And the reason why we've gotten away from it is because we're like, oh, we need to get this technology to make this. And it's like, yeah, but again, we need to focus on the customer. I even heard Jeff Bezos talk about it. He was like, I'm not concerned about anything. I'm worried about the customer. What is the customer thinking? What do they need? What are we not doing? What can we do better type deal? And that's so true, because positive customer experience drives customer loyalty, enhances brand reputation, and it differentiates offerings in a competitive market. When you think about it, What makes a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or, I don't know, any other coffee place out there is about the experience. Because when you think about it, coffee is a commodity. What is a commodity? I can make coffee at home, but it's the experience that I'm going for. How is that? How am I going to be treated? What is the service like? Is it going to be upbeat, or is everyone going to be frustrated with me because I'm here to give you my money? But I digress. The point I'm trying to make, we have to create that customer loyalty. We have to create that personalized experience. And most of all, ensure that customer-centric projects are definitely aligned, that is project focused, so we can be aligned with the customer centric project. Excuse me. Here's my two actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Gather direct customer feedback at multiple stages, proof of concept, pilot, and then of course launch. And then we also want to set clear customer experience metrics. So you have your CSAT, customer satisfaction, you have your NPS, net performance survey. And then, of course, satisfaction score. Basically, all of these do is we're trying to gauge where the customer is at in their journey. Are they liking the products? Are they liking the service? Is there something we can do to continually improve? All right. Building collaborative ecosystems within partners. Many projects now evolve with contractors. Let's see, what else? We got vendors. We got customers. So it's constantly evolving, and project managers must coordinate multiple parties to achieve a shared goal. This is important because a structured partnerships multiplies resources, expertise, and market opportunity, but also adds a little bit of taste of complexity. And what that basically means is that, as we know, the more people that we have to communicate with, the communication gets more challenging. And it adds that complexity to it. So we want to ensure that we got a good ecosystem with our partners, whether contractors, whether third-party vendors, to ensure we're all aligned. Here's an actionable tip I'd love for you to experiment with. Establish a regular joint review meeting where partners can raise concerns and we can also sync on progress. And number two, develop a partnership charter outlining responsibilities, timelines, as well as shared objective. You could also look at like almost like a team charter. You can leverage that as well. Here's my final thoughts and call to action. I just ask you that you choose one ideal today that we discussed to pilot. Identify a simple strategy, whether it's implementing agile, whether it's feedback loops, whether it's training, whatever that thing that really resonated with you as the point today, I would love for you to go and pilot it. Then once you pilot, continue to champion a learning mindset. Encourage you, the team, to really stay curious, just not even about agile, but staying curious about project management, staying curious about markets. What else could I use from other markets to bring in? You know, for example, Agile was really known a lot in the software market. And now you're starting to see that we're blending the predictive and the Agile together, taking pieces of it. So keeping a learning mindset is going to be key in 2025, and then lead the charge. Don't wait for permission to innovate. As a project manager, or I should say as a project leader, you have influence and you have the power to drive new ideas, break down these silos, and shape the future of how teams operate. Now listen, project management is no longer about checking a box. It's really about orchestrating an impactful change in the ever-evolving world. We've explored how aligning teams, meaning breaking down silos. We've looked at technology. We even looked at the ability to foster generational communication. And most of all, we looked at the ability to communicate effectively. Now, I challenge you today, I'll give you tonight to think it over. Pick one initiative from today's discussion, set a measurable goal and timeline, and recruit the right stakeholders to champion and support it. Let this be the momentum that transforms your insight into outcomes and building innovative, resilient projects and creating lasting impact on your actual organization. Well, family, as they always say, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one single step. I hope you take your step today. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.